Thanks for tuning in to another situational report from SITREP Israel, providing automated situational updates covering security developments in Israel and the region. Updates weekdays at 9 a.m. and 20 p.m. Israel time. And now your host, Mr. Mike Radish.
I'm Mike Radish, an Australian correspondent based in Jerusalem reporting for SITREP Israel. Welcome to the evening edition of SITREP Israel, our automated situational report covering Israel's security fronts. This SITREP was generated on Monday, the 11th of May, 2026, at 19:07 Israel time, 16:07 UTC. Trump rejects Iran's ceasefire as unacceptable. Hezbollah loitering gliders hit IDF vehicles, May 11th of 16:07 Israel. Evening edition. Bottom line up front, the diplomatic track between Washington and Tehran hit a wall today. President Trump publicly rejected Iran's latest ceasefire response as totally unacceptable, calling it a very stupid response and saying the ceasefire is on life support. He threatened to resume and expand Project Freedom to escort commercial vessels through the Strait of Hormuz. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman called the U.S. demands unreasonable and described Iran's counterproposal as generous. Meanwhile, Hezbollah launched multiple loitering glider attacks on IDF vehicles in southern Lebanon, claiming confirmed hits on an engineering vehicle and a Hummer in Tyre Harfa. Three IDF soldiers were lightly injured in a separate explosive drone attack. And in Brussels, EU foreign ministers finally approved sanctions on violent Israeli settlers and settler groups, ending months of blockage after Hungary's government change. Now, turning to the regional sections. In Iran, beyond the diplomatic impasse, former Israeli minister Yuval Steinitz, now chair of Rafael, assessed that pre-war Iran was months from a nuclear bomb but is now years away after Israeli and American strikes destroyed enrichment facilities, weaponization infrastructure, and eliminated key scientists. He insisted Israel is not short of missile interceptors. On the regional diplomacy front, the Iranian and Saudi foreign ministers held a phone call to discuss developments and the U.S.-Iran process. And in Iraq, lawmakers demanded an investigation into alleged Israeli military bases used for strikes on Iran. In Lebanon, Hezbollah's loitering glider attacks in Tayr Hafa were the headline, but several other developments filled out the picture. The group fired a surface-to-air missile at an Israeli Air Force Hermes 450 drone over southern Lebanon. An interceptor was launched, triggering sirens in Neviam on the Carmel coast, with no damage or injuries reported. Israeli warplanes struck targets in Tulun, Zibkin, and the area between Atshit and Al-Kusaibah. An airstrike on a clinic in Srifa reportedly injured several people. Lebanese health authorities reported 23 killed and 37 wounded on Sunday alone, raising the overall toll since March 2nd to at least 2,869 killed and 8,730 injured, including 105 medical workers killed. On the military posture side, Israeli Channel 12 reported the army is preparing to expand its operation in Lebanon to enable political decision-making. And the IDF sentenced the soldier to 21 days in military jail for desecrating a Christian religious symbol in southern Lebanon. The soldier who filmed the incident received 14 days. In Gaza, a Palestinian was killed by Israeli gunfire on Salah al-Din Street, south of Gaza City. A 12-year-old boy, Mohammed Arda, lost his sight and four fingers when an unexploded remnant of Israeli ordnance detonated in central Gaza. He is now living in a displacement camp in Deir al-Balah. And Israel is advancing legislation to try October 7th detainees in military courts, raising fears of show trials and executions. Separately, open-source facial recognition tools have identified three additional perpetrators of the October 7th massacre. In the West Bank, the EU sanctions on violent settlers and settler organizations include asset freezes and entry bans. EU Foreign Policy Chief Kaja Kallas said it was high time we move from deadlock to delivery. Foreign Minister Gideon Saar criticized the decision, accusing the EU of making an arbitrary comparison between Israeli citizens and Hamas terrorists. The Peace Now movement welcomed the sanctions as a severe warning sign. In a security incident, border police officers neutralized a gunman who opened fire on them during an operation in Kolandia. No Israeli forces were injured. On the multilateral track, the UN Secretary General called for urgent de-escalation in the Strait of Hormuz, warning of widening fallout across Africa and beyond. Throughput remains at 5% of pre-war levels, with Aramco warning of 100 million barrel per week losses if the closure extends. The economic shockwaves are spreading. Indian Prime Minister Modi urged citizens to avoid foreign travel and gold purchases, while South Korea vowed to respond after a cargo ship linked to a Korean company was attacked in the strait, a Houthi official warned the U.S. to expect consequences for rejecting Iran's response, and the EU agreed to restore full trade ties with Syria. Moving to the analysis, first the trend. The diplomatic track has sharply decelerated from tentative engagement to open rejection. Trump's public dismissal of Iran's counterproposal marks the most significant negative inflection since the May 9th U.S. strikes on Iranian tankers. The protagonist set has narrowed to just Washington and Tehran, with Qatar and Pakistan fading as mediators. Military tempo on the Lebanon front remains elevated but stable. Hezbollah's loitering glider attacks represent a tactical evolution rather than an escalation in scale. The overall pattern is one of diplomatic regression and persistent grinding attrition. On the information environment, the U.S. is pushing a narrative of Iranian intransigence, with Trump publicly framing Tehran's response as stupid and threatening to restart Project Freedom. Iran is counter-framing its proposal as generous and focused on ending the war.
Hezbollah's media wing is amplifying the loitering glider strikes as evidence of tactical superiority, while the EU's settler sanctions introduce a new narrative layer of international pressure on Israel. The gap between reporting and evidence is widest around the ceasefire terms. Neither side has publicly detailed its red lines, leaving the diplomatic impasse opaque. And the synthesis, the Trump administration's public rejection, coupled with the threat to resume Project Freedom, signals that Washington is now prioritizing maritime coercion over a negotiated ceasefire. The explicit linkage of the Strait of Hormuz escort mission to the diplomatic track and the absence of any mention of further mediation efforts supports this reading. A counter reading is that Trump's rhetoric is a bargaining tactic to extract better terms, but the threat to restart Project Freedom, a concrete military operation, suggests a genuine pivot to pressure rather than a bluff. The EU's settler sanctions, while symbolically significant, are unlikely to alter the core U.S.-Iran dynamic. And to wrap up, the OSINT indicators and dual-lens predictions, three indicators to watch. First, check Flight Radar 24 for any U.S. Navy P-8A, Poseidon, or MQ-4C Triton surveillance flights over the Strait of Hormuz to assess Project Freedom escort posture. Second, review Sentinel-1 SR imagery of Tyr Harfa from the next descending pass, Orbit 137, for evidence of burned-out IDF vehicles matching Hezbollah's loitering glider claims. Third, monitor the Telegram channel War Monitors for any video or photo evidence of loitering glider strikes on IDF vehicles in Tyr Harfa. Looking at predictions through a status quo lens, within 48 hours, the IDF will announce an expansion of ground operations in southern Lebanon, citing Hezbollah's loitering glider attacks. Before the end of the week, the U.S. Navy will announce the resumption of Project Freedom escort operations in the Strait of Hormuz, and the Iran-Israel ceasefire will hold through the next 72 hours with no resumption of direct kinetic exchange. Now looking at the same indicators through an escalation lens, within 24 hours, Hezbollah will launch a coordinated loitering glider and rocket attack on an IDF base in northern Israel, causing multiple casualties. Within 72 hours, Iran will announce it has resumed enrichment to 60% at a previously undisclosed facility, citing the collapse of diplomacy. And by the end of the week, a U.S. Navy vessel will be targeted by an IRGC drone or missile in the Strait of Hormuz, resulting in casualties and a U.S. retaliatory strike on Iranian coastal assets. That concludes this SITREP. For more, visit SITREPISR.com or subscribe on Telegram at t.me/Israel_SITREPs. This is Mike Radish, signing off from Jerusalem.